Now, if I had to replay the tape a little bit, take you back to last week. Anyone remember who we've been talking about? There's a subtle hint there. Oh, yes, it's Jonah. Okay? So what we explored, who wasn't here last week? You look serious. Ayanda Webb wasn't here, and we still did it. David, you weren't here. Yeah, but so? Don't you get, like, online? Don't we stream this, CK? What are you doing at the back there that you're not streaming? Even Nairobi, Kenya stream all their services. We need to get with the information age, this little dark South Africa. Okay, so we need to get going. So it's about Jonah running from God. So last week we saw that Jonah runs. So here was the story. God says, Jonah, you got to go. He says, I ain't going. I'm going the other way. I'm out of here. Goes down. He finds a boat going in the opposite. Actually, the actual opposite direction. You know, sometimes people say, I'm going the opposite direction. You know, I'm going from Durban to Joburg, but I'm going the opposite direction. I'm going Durban to Pretoria. No, that's just 1 degree difference. This was like, I'm not going there, I'm going there. And it took us a while to figure out why, and we'll see now. And at some point, there's such a bad storm, and the sailors realize he's the reason why the storm is raging, so they turf him overboard. And a little guppy, a little goldfish comes and swallows him, and it was an overgrown mutant goldfish, one of the only ones ever found in that time. Maybe God prepared it. So he fell all the way down. It was nice down there. There were chairs and cushions and lights. We even saw he had matches and stuff last week down there. But fortunately, he gets like spat out, and we talked a bit about vomit, what that tastes like, and it wasn't nice. And his skin was all bleached, if you remember. That's where whiteys came from. But that's just what I heard. I wasn't sure. Okay, so the basic question was, Jonah, why you know to go to Nineveh? Okay, we try to answer that. We answered that by looking at their Facebook page, and we saw that these Assyrians were horrible people. They would impale people, which isn't just like an ear piercing. It's a body piercing where you get stuck up on a stake. Not nice. So they would gouge eyes. You can see the king actually gouging eyes. And they would flay people, which is to strip the skin off you. I think a bit painful. I don't know, but when I stubbed my toe, I got an owie. I mean, I hit my knee last night and I was like laughing. It was so sore. You know what I mean? It was like really painful. So sometime try it. Take one of your friends and rip their skin off and see if at that point you would want to go and tell those horrible, evil people that they must repent or God's going to wipe them out. And we learned last week that he just said, no, just Duke Nukem. You know what I mean? Just wipe them out, kill them. And so we said, what does it have to do with us? And we thought there were three key things. That my happiness is not God's priority, God's highest priority. But his priority is that I would fulfill his purposes, that I will work for him, that I would do things for him, that I would tell people about him, etc. We also saw that things go really well when we disobey God for a little while. There's always a ship going in the other direction, and it's a ship to the cricket. No, I'm just kidding, David. There's always a ship going somewhere, you know, and for a little while. Not very long, but for a little while, it's nice. And we need to obey God when he speaks. That was the point of that. Okay, because if we don't, there's a fish waiting to gobble us, an overgrown goldfish. And don't, next time you're swimming and you're disobeying God and a goldfish comes, don't say like, oh, such a surprise. Where did that come from? You just remember this. Mark told you a goldfish is going to gobble you up. Okay? Or when a airplane's engine falls and smashes the roof of your house. Don't say like, where did that come from? Remember this morning I said, things happen. You know what I mean? You might have been fine the week before. You got nice clothes, bow tie, getting married. But like if something bad happens, you know you've done something wrong. Don't say I didn't warn you. Okay? When you hear the music, dun 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 dun, or whatever, however Jaws goes. Someone want to sing the Jaws? You're scared spitless, right? Or you can't spit in the ocean anyway. Third, we saw that God will always give us a second chance to obey him. And I'd said how that I'd wrestled with this. Does God give us a second chance always? Well, he seems to. He's gracious. He wants us to do what he wants. So the thing was, accept his call. And in case you didn't get the message, which I didn't mention, is that you can't run away from God. Oh, you can try. And you can even put tackies on. And you can get a head start with the wind with you, but you'll very soon find when you slam into the cliff face and your face is all horribly marred that actually you can't run away from God. And don't moan at me when your nose is bloody, because I've warned you. You know what I mean? I'm trying to stop you getting a bloody nose or a bleached skin or smelling like vomit. That's what last week was all about. Got it? So don't come here smelling like vomit. That's where there's that verse about being spewed out of his mouth. I'm warning you, James. You've heard this message now, hey? Sorry, your honor, the mayor. How many of you know that James is the junior mayor of Johannesburg? It's awesome. We've never had a mayor. None of us know how to treat the dude. He was in his mayoral suit on Friday night. It was like awesome. Now, what are we going to experience and think about this week? So here's what I'm going to suggest. We're going to look at Jonah chapter 3.
Jonah chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required at least 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news finally reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Because who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened.
Thanks so much. I'm sure that deserves a hearty round of applause. Thanks, bro. So when I look at the story, and if we carry on with the story in the Action Bible, we read that it says, once again, God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh. This time he obeys. First time, I'm not going. I think he's learned a bit of a lesson, right? I ain't going down no well belly again. I've done that. Turn away from your sin or the whole city will be destroyed. That's what God says. If it's up to me, I was going to nuke you all. And when God does punish you like you deserve, don't say I didn't warn you. Quite ominous. We'll hear more about that attitude maybe in week 3. And the people do it. They listen. They listen to what's been said. Even the king turns. You know, there's something about your leader turning, and God saw what the people had done, and they had actually taken action, and they had changed their ways. And he does not destroy them after all. Simple message, really. Repent and sin no more. That was Jonah's message. Repent and sin no more. And the Ninevites believed in God and turned from their wicked ways. That's an original photograph. The Ninevites were actually quite small. True. It's a photo. It's not a cartoon. It looks like one. So let's ask that same question today. So what? The fact that Jonah raps for God. Okay, so last week he runs from God. This week he raps for God. I don't know sort of what kind. I don't know if he's an Eminem-style rapper or Lil Wayne or what. But he rapped. You know what I mean? And he wasn't a white boy, this Jonah. You know, it's from the Middle East. So the boy had rhythm. He could rap. I mean, like Shan raps, this dude rap. But so what? What does that have to do with us? Well, let me suggest 3 things again this week. That even if we're stubborn and slow to do what God wants us to do, he can still work through us. And he will still work through us. So you might find that while I've disobeyed up until now, it's okay. There's still a chance tomorrow to go out and do it. Because when Jonah warns the people, Jonah calls him to repent. And this is the same guy that's been saying, God, I'm not going to do this. I don't want anything to do with this. God comes and works in the heart of the people through Jonah. So even if it's late, even if you've messed up before, God will use you in a powerful way. Okay, I want to say something secondly this morning. So even if you're late in on the action, here's what I want to say as well. That God is a God of mercy and compassion. He wants us to speak up so that everyone gets a chance to repent. There's actually a verse in the Bible that says, God is not slow like some think he is in keeping his promises, but God is patient, not wanting anyone to die. He wants everyone to come to a knowledge of the truth. It's like God is calling people, calling through many voices, hopefully yours and mine as well. He wants us to repent. Listen to this. God's will is to save us, and nothing pleases him more than our coming back to him. Remember the story of the prodigal son? He's wandered off. He's wasted the inheritance. The father is still at the gate waiting for the son to come home. And I would have liked, dude, you've had your chance now. I've got another son. I'm looking after that son. Father's like, no, that son of mine needs to come back. God, nothing pleases him more than our coming back to him with true repentance. I guess the question this morning is, what kind of God? What kind of God is your God? Is this God that you've come to know? And I think there's really two options this morning that I want to focus on. And the first one, is your God a God of war? You might wonder how I found that awesome clip. I searched on the word, I Googled God and mercy. The only thing that it had in that title was the little word no. I guess there's a big difference between a God of mercy and a God of no mercy. Show no mercy. Have you ever heard the phrase, take no prisoners? You know, we didn't function like that as South African soldiers. There were standards. There was rules of war. Oh, you would kill people, but you would do it humanely. You know what I mean? And if someone was wounded, you wouldn't just like put a bullet in their head. You know, this is not like some TV show or something. You know, God of war shows no mercy. Maybe your God is actually a God of mercy. Because I do think that Jonah's God erred a little bit on the God of no mercy, don't you think? Now, I actually want this God to nuke you. I want this God to kill you. Came across a song by Casting Crowns.
Here I am, a sinner, broken and in need of you. Take my life and wash my fears away. For you are the great I am. Rest assured, I feel your hand holding me until the darkness clears. Your Father to the fatherless, Redeemer of my soul. My life is yours forever. My heart will always know. Your mercy saved me. Mercy. Mercy found me, called me as your own. Here I stand, a child of yours, broken and in need of you. Break these chains and wash my guilt away. Healer of my brokenness, my weary soul will find its rest. You are my strength, the lifter of my head. You're greater than my yesterdays. You hold me close today. You're the Lord of my tomorrows. My heart will always say, you're greater than my yesterdays. You hold me close today. You're the Lord of my tomorrows. My heart will say, your mercy saved me, mercy made me whole. Your mercy found me, called me as your own.
forgive us for sometimes thinking that what we've done is beyond your ability to forgive. But how we minutize your great heart and love by thinking, Lord, that this is too bad or that person's too bad and can't receive you. We pray, Lord God, that this sense of your mercy that is relentless, that is ever new, that is beyond, Lord, you don't give us what we deserve. In fact, grace says that you give us what we don't deserve. And we pray, Lord God, that we would experience this mercy. Lord, that we won't see you as a God of wrath and vengeance, but a God who's continually drawing near to us, forgiving, embracing. And Lord, we pray that this grace, this mercy would spread through us and touch others' lives. Thank you that you are a God of mercy and not a God of war. In your name we pray. Amen. True repentance from sin brings forgiveness. I want you to think about that story and the stuff that went on with the Ninevites, which led to God forgiving them. They heard. They heard the voice of the Lord. So when Jonah proclaimed, if you don't repent, you will die, they heard. They trusted in God. They believed God. They took God at his word, and they said, okay, so there is a God. He is the God, and we are going to listen to him, and we're going to accept his word as gospel. They acted. They took action. They proclaimed a fast. I mean, no coffee. Hectic. You know, whatever is important to you, if you said, you know what, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to be, you know, mean and spiteful or angry or gossip or whatever it is, whatever our vice is. They took actions and God actually saw it from heaven. There was this idea of turn. I'll come to that again just now. And they relied on God for his mercy. That's an incredible example of what repentance is. Listen to this statement. Repentance is you turning from sinful ways to God's way. And I want to focus on one phrase, the U-turning. Repentance is U-turning. And if you've ever heard Andrew Gosman speak about repentance, that's the phrase that he uses. It's a U-turn. Repentance is U-turning from sinful ways to God's ways. To say, I'm not going to do that anymore, I'm going to do that. So just like Jonah was going that way, and he ran that way, the Ninevites were going that way, and they turned the other way. They turn from their wickedness. Until there's that turning, I don't think there can be full forgiveness given. True repentance from sin brings true forgiveness, complete forgiveness. It's not like we have to, we're not earning our salvation, but we're demonstrating that we have changed and turned. You turning from sinful ways, have you turned? It's about you turning. There's a third thing that I want to suggest this morning, that if we obey God, he will do wonders through us. When Jonah finally gets to doing the obeying and preaching for God, a whole city turns and repents and gives their lives to God. I want to have someone come up and share. Tim, if you would, you want to hit some of those front lights there, just the stage ones maybe. Maybe an example of what happens when you get out of your comfort zone and you tell others about God. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, hello, everybody. I'd just like to share a verse before I start. Matthew 22, verse 38 to 40. This is the first and great commandment, to love the Lord and your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. The second is equally important, love your neighbor as you love yourself. The entire law and all demands of prophets are based on these two commandments. Now, if we love our neighbors and if we love the non-believers, we'll be willing to show them love by going to them and preaching to them the gospel. And that's what I do. Every day of the week, I try. And sometimes, I'm also a Jonah. Sometimes I'll see a big guy and I'll say, God, you want me to go to him? That big guy? Oh, he's serious. But if you just go, if you just walk to that guy, you'll see. God will use you greatly. And you see, the one time I was sitting, talking to the guys, they were about to smoke marijuana. I said, can I share the gospel with you? So I share with them, and I could see one of the guys, he was thinking in his heart, but the other guy was complaining so much, talking to me, and I was like, but God, how are you going to reach these guys? And I left, and I went to go sit under a tree. And I was sitting, and I was like, God, yes, but why didn't those guys change? And I see this other guy walking in, and then God says to me, go talk to that guy. I was like, but just now I went there, and nothing happened. And I see this guy turning, and he looks at me, and he starts walking to me, and I say, oh, again. And he comes, and he asks me, do you have marijuana? I say, no, but I have the God test, and I would like to do it with you. And I did it with him, and that guy is willing to, he says he's willing to follow Jesus, and now I'm discipling him. His name's Lamont. And hopefully I can bring him next week.
We just have to be obedient to God when he speaks to us. And sometimes it's go to the city of marijuana, you know, instead of the city of Nineveh. And it's like, what the heck? Are you crazy? I'm going to get beat up by some guys. If we just do what God tells us to do, it's a lot better. So will you speak for God? You know, the rooster gets up every morning and speaks for God. I don't know if you know, but he says, repent, the end is near, or whatever the roosters say it, I guess. Check that dude on the pavement there. He's just like, but will you speak? You know, you are the voice of God. You are the Jonah in your generation. Last week we used the phrase, I am Jonah. Do you remember that clip? I am Jonah. You are the Jonah. Don't go waiting for some Jonah to appear, be spat out on the shores of like the Vaal Dam, out of the mouth of a crocodile. You are the Jonah, you know? You going wherever God calls you to go. Will you speak? And by using megaphones this morning, it's a metaphor. I don't want you standing up with a megaphone. I think you can see from TM's nature that it's not like this like screaming rant and raving from the hilltops. Maybe there's a time for that if God says, put up a megaphone. I used to watch people down in Windsor East, it was. And they would stand on the corners and scream at people. You are a dirty, rotten sinner. You're going to hell. You deserve hell. I'm like, dude, are you trying to lead them to the God of war, the God of mercy? Because you're doing a very good job of leading them to the God of war. Hey, is it true that we're sinners? Is it true that we've offended a holy God? Yes, it is. But if I'm going to engage someone, I think you're going to, even if you look at the God test that I see TM is actually carrying around and using, it respects people. It asks them questions about who they think God is and if he exists and what proof they have for the fact that he doesn't exist. So will you speak or be silent? It's probably the worst thing that we can do is not speak when God tells us to speak. And so I'm going to encourage you to be more like the rooster, to speak for God. And maybe it's not speaking, maybe it's doing something to serve someone, you know? There was an interesting moment at a memorial service on Friday. Our neighbor, Uncle Barry, had died this week. And I've spoken about Ann and Barry before. And at their funeral, their son got up and said, you know, there are angels in the world. And he wants to thank Mark and Debbie for being angels in the death. And I was like, what? And all we did was that I was there in the day. We came in the night, Debbie and I. We brought a meal. We brought them flowers the week before, 2 weeks before. It wasn't like a big thing we did. It didn't cost us a million. It wasn't like, you know, it was just, God, what do you want us to do in these people's lives? And I believe that communicates and speaks to people in their time of need. So whatever God wants you to do this week, do it, even if it sounds crazy. And sometimes it will be crazy. It would be like, no, use that platform and speak, or take this action, or you know what, just go and buy that person a Coke and give it to them and say, God wanted me to give you this. Oh, that's not the God of war. No, it's the other God. You can serve the God of war, but he doesn't take prisoners. Or you can serve the God of mercy. He loves. Let's pray together. God, we're all tempted to run a mile, run the other way. But Lord, you've challenged us this morning to rap for you, to be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is within us. We pray, Lord, when the time comes and you put your finger on us and you want us to speak for you, that we would do it. And we would do it willingly and not begrudgingly. And Lord, whatever comes to our mind, you've promised when we don't know what to say, you would fill our minds with your words. And we do pray, Lord God, that you would give us what to say in our time of need. And we pray, Lord, that those times that we failed you, that we thank you that your mercy covers that. And Lord, we won't dwell on that, but we'll get up and do what you call us to do. And we will see that you would do great things through us. Thank you for what you're doing in that park through TM, where he goes regularly, through his contacts at school. And for others, Lord, we've heard about how guys here speak up when they are called to. We pray, Lord, for what you are doing in each SCA group, student Christian group in the high schools. And we pray, Lord, that more and more teenagers would turn to you before their hearts are hardened and they won't receive you anymore. We pray, Lord God, that we would be faithful. We would be like the chapter 3 Jonah more than the chapter 1 Jonah. And we pray this in your awesome name. Amen.